What's up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Rams Wire Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron DeSilva. We've made it to another week of training camp, and as things wind down in UC Irvine, we approach week one of the regular season, and we'll be talking about the Rams' upcoming preseason game against the Raiders. They'll touch on their final two preseason games coming up on the schedule and really how the roster is shaping up. We'll recap last week's loss to the Ravens, which was quite ugly. And then we'll talk about some of the injuries and Aaron Donald updates and how some of the rookies are performing so far in camp and in the preseason. So we'll go ahead and get started by kind of going back to last week's preseason game, which the Rams lost 33-7 to the Ravens. The score is indicative of how lopsided the game was. It was never really close for the Rams. They never had a chance against Lamar Jackson, RG3, or any of the Ravens quarterbacks, really. They struggled on defense, couldn't do anything on offense. The biggest story of the game, of course, was Sean Mannion being one of the worst quarterbacks I think I've ever seen in a preseason game. He was downright awful. He looked like he could barely complete a pass more than 5 yards down the field. Really looked uncomfortable in the pocket. Finished the game 3 for 13 with 16 yards and an interception. At one point, his passer rating was 1.7, and somehow he got it up to 7.5, which I'm not really sure how he did that, but that's how he finished the game. It was really ugly. The Rams gave him a full half to work with. He did very little with that, and for a player who not necessarily is on the roster bubble, but someone who hasn't proved much to the coaching staff since Sean McVay took over last year, it was obviously a disappointing performance and one that's not going to help his odds of making the team at all. McVay has talked all offseason about the job that Mannion has done in the offense and how impressive he's been and so on and so forth, but that we didn't see any of that on Thursday against the Ravens. He was replaced by Brandon Allen, who was decent. I wouldn't say he was spectacular by any means, and didn't really make any tremendous throws to any of his receivers, but at least he was competent and able to complete some passes, move the offense downfield, and really get things going through the air. He finished the game 10 for 15, 73 yards, and a touchdown, and a passer rating of 100.1. So obviously he performed better than Mannion, but that didn't take much considering how bad the former Oregon State product was in this one. As far as Allen, like I said, he wasn't spectacular, but he didn't make any huge mistakes. He kept not that he kept the Rams in the game, but he kept possession of the ball and really did what he could with a second and third string offense around him. But as far as highlights go, two guys really stood out in this one, John Kelly and Justin Davis, the two young running backs. Davis was an undrafted free agent last year out of USC, and then Kelly, obviously, was a sixth-round pick out of Tennessee this year. So really, both guys performed really well. Combined, they had 118 yards rushing on just 20 attempts. Kelly ripped off a nice 40-yard run. He took a toss to the right, cut back, went all the way across the field, used Stephen Mitchell, the wide receiver, basically as a lead blocker and shoved him to the ground in front of a defender to free himself up a little bit. So really, he had a really strong game, 77 yards on 13 carries. Neither guy found the end zone, but they did really perform well. They didn't have any fumbling issues. They looked really comfortable in the backfield and carrying the football. So that's a great sign for them as the Rams kind of figure out their backfield behind Todd Gurley. What this means for Malcolm Brown, I'm not really sure yet. He played sparingly. He only had 3 carries for 1 yard. But they were really the two stars of the game in an otherwise disappointing and almost embarrassing game for the Rams. As far as the receivers go, the guy who had the best game was Fred Brown. He had 2 catches for 15 yards. That led all receivers. The longest catch that any receiver made was 12 yards. And if you look at the Ravens box score, They had catches of 32 yards, 29 yards, 36 yards, 26 yards, 30 yards. So they had a bunch of big plays, whereas the Rams couldn't do much of anything on offense. It was really lopsided in that sense, and it was reflected in the box score and on the final score line. So no one really impressed besides John Kelly and Justin Davis as far as the skill positions go. On defense, a couple of rookies stood out a little bit. Micah Kizer and Tigre Scales. Kizer had a game-high 6 tackles. Scales had 5 himself. But if you watch the game, you saw two guys who didn't look out of their element. They made disciplined reads. They kept true to their gaps and had really good gap discipline. So that was something good to see from them as they kind of try to earn a roster spot for the Rams and have an impact this season on a team where there's a lot of uncertainty at linebacker. You obviously have Mark Barron, who has yet to really do much on the field. He didn't play against the Ravens in the preseason opener. Corey Littleton didn't either. He's expected to be the other starter next to Barron. So you have openings on that defense where they can be sub-package guys. Kizer isn't really someone who's going to really thrive on passing downs and in coverage, but he's someone who can be a thumper in the middle of a defense, take on blocks, and really clean things up for the other linebackers on the field to make plays and roam sideline to sideline. So that was good to see from him and Scales. Hopefully they'll see a little bit more playing time in the second preseason game against the Raiders so we can get a better feel of how they're doing. I would expect Ramiq Wilson to do a little bit more than he did in week 1, where he didn't play at all. So some changes could come there in the second preseason game, but it kind of remains to be seen how Sean McVay is going to handle that stuff. One guy who I was a little bit surprised struggled as much as he did was Troy Hill. He's someone who looks like he's going to be the number 4 or 5 cornerback on this team. The top 3 are set in Nickell Robey-Coleman, Marcus Peters, and then Aqib Talib, of course. So they have an opening at number 4 and 5 on the depth chart, which really are important positions when it comes time to either giving cornerbacks breaks or if they go into dime packages, if they want to get five cornerbacks on the field at a time. So those are important spots, and he's someone who I thought was going to grab hold of that position, maybe beat out Sam Shields for the number 4 spot. But he didn't do anything to help himself against the Ravens. He had a penalty where he had, I think it was hands to the face on a 3rd down. It gave the Ravens another chance. They converted on the 1st down and then scored a touchdown on the next play. He gave up a 30-yarder to Michael Crabtree deep downfield after he lost him in coverage. Another receiver made a catch over him in the middle of the field. So he gave up a few big plays, had a penalty against him, and really it was kind of a frustrating game for him. So I was a little bit disappointed to see him struggle as much as he did. So hopefully he can bounce back against the Raiders and play the way that he did in the postseason against the Falcons, when he was honestly one of the better cornerbacks in the league, and he had the highest single game grade of any cornerback in the postseason last year. So that goes to show you what kind of player he was at the end of the season, and hopefully he can bounce back and play better in the next few preseason games, as long as the Rams afford him the chance to do that. Of course, the thing that worries fans the most about the preseason, and rightfully so, are injuries. You never want to see any guys get hurt. You don't want to see anyone carted off the field or leave with any significant injuries. Unfortunately, the Rams escaped without anything major. Blake Countess had a little shoulder injury. He's fine. But as far as other players in the game, Kevin Peterson, unfortunately, did suffer a torn ACL. He's out for the year. That's a major injury for him. He wasn't someone who was really projected to make the final roster, but he was a good player at cornerback. He had a couple of picks against the 49ers in Week 17 last year. So he did have a track record of making plays in the defensive backfield, but he did suffer a torn ACL, so he's out for the year. One other injury to speak of from the game against the Ravens was Josh Reynolds. He tweaked his ankle a little bit. Sean McVay said he's going to be out about a week, maybe more. So I'm sure they're going to take it slow with him, really make sure that he's fully recovered from that injury before forcing him back into action. Kind of like Troy Hill, as far as wide receivers go, he was kind of battling for that fourth and fifth receiver spot behind Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks, and then Robert Woods. So he's someone who could be a nice red zone threat. The Rams lost Sammy Watkins this offseason, of course, so there is an opening when it comes to big-bodied receivers and guys with big catch radiuses. So he's a guy who I was going to watch as far as red zone plays go. Reynolds is a guy who can win in those jump ball situations, be it downfield, in the end zone, in the red zone. So I was hoping to see him compete a little bit more for the number four job. He still has time to do that as far as the preseason and training camp goes and then practice before the regular season kicks off. He's, of course, no one that's in danger of being cut, being a recent draft pick of last year. But I did want to see more from him. It's unfortunate that he got hurt, but hopefully the Rams give him a little bit more of a chance in maybe that third or fourth preseason game to really tune his craft and work on his game before the regular season begins. And then lastly, Matt Longacre is still sidelined, as is Oba Okoronkwo. He's been out since minicamp or OTAs. I'm not really sure when he got hurt, but he broke his foot, and there's been no update on him yet. He hasn't been activated off of the PUP list. Sean McVay sounded confident that it was going to be sometime before camp ended, but with only two practices left, that kind of seems unlikely. Hopefully we'll get to see Obo before the preseason ends, because if not, he really doesn't have much time to practice and get ready for the regular season after missing OTAs, after missing all of training camp. And then if he misses the entire preseason, that's obviously not a good sign. So just a couple injuries to keep an eye on there. Hopefully we'll get some updates pretty soon from McVay in the coming days. And then obviously we'll know more when the preseason game comes around against the Raiders, who's being held out, who's going to play, and who's going to be rested due to injury or just because they're starters that don't want to get hurt. So a couple of things to watch there. Going back to one of the storylines that came out of the preseason loss to the Ravens, was really the backup quarterback situation. I touched on it a little bit earlier, how Sean McVay was bad, how Brandon Allen was just okay, and then I didn't talk about him, but Luis Perez didn't play at all, which was a little bit surprising to me. I thought he would get, at least in the first preseason game, get a little bit of run, and so the Rams could see what they have in him. I'm not really sure if that's an indictment on really where he is as far as his development goes, or if the Rams just wanted to see more of Mannion and Allen. But I'm hoping he gets to play a little bit as in the Saturday's game against the Raiders. I'm not really sure if that's going to happen. Sean McVay didn't clarify exactly whether Perez was going to play or not. He said he was going to try to hopefully get him on the field, but that seems kind of questionable and uncertain at this point in time. Really, we haven't heard much about Perez throughout training camp. We haven't heard how he's doing, really, whether he's impressing, which it's a little bit disappointing because he is a guy who I had high hopes for. Not that I really expected him to beat out Mannion for the starting or for the backup job, but he's a guy with good potential. He has a strong arm. He was accurate in college, and really, he has all the intangibles of being a good solid backup quarterback who you can develop behind Goff. Mannion doesn't look like that guy, which is why I was hoping Perez would see some time in the preseason opener and throughout the preseason, really, and hopefully earn the backup job. But it doesn't look like that's really going to happen for him. He's obviously someone the Rams would hope to stash on their practice squad and develop and take their time with. But with so many teams needing backup quarterbacks nowadays, It might not be the case. Someone might poach him off waivers and take him from the practice squad for the Rams, and then the Rams are stuck with either Mannion or Allen as the backup behind Goff. The other option is to go after someone either in free agency or via trade. When the final cuts come, quarterbacks are a position, obviously, that a lot of teams look at, a lot of fans look at, and it's interesting to see who gets cut and who stays. Because most teams don't want to carry three quarterbacks. You can't always get one on the practice squad, and teams always are looking for developmental guys to keep behind the starters. So when the final cuts come, a couple of guys who could be released are Robert Griffin III, who the Rams just got a good look at last week against the Ravens, Teddy Bridgewater in New York, who seems like he's going to be behind Sam Darnold, who is obviously the future of the Jets, and then A.J. McCarron, who has a little bit less potential than someone like Nate Peterman or Josh Allen in Buffalo, but the Bills did just sign him to a free agent offer this offseason. So it kind of remains to be seen if they're going to part ways with him after just a few months or if they're going to keep him around and start him in week one. There's still a lot to be determined there. But those are three guys that I would kind of look at if I'm the Rams and I'm not really feeling that comfortable with how the backup quarterback situation is going. And so those are three guys that I would keep an eye on as the offseason rolls along. I don't know if the Rams would really part ways with, say, a sixth or seventh round pick to get any of them. I don't know if those teams would even give up the quarterbacks for that low of a pick. But like I said, those are three guys that I would think are possibly on the Rams' radar. But the closer you get to the regular season, the less time they have to develop, the less time they have to learn the system and really get acclimated to Sean McVay's offense. So the earlier they can figure out what they're going to do, the better. But I don't see Sean Mannion being the answer behind Goff because, quite frankly, he hasn't shown much. He didn't play well against the 49ers in Week 17 last year. The preseason last year was a little bit shaky. On Thursday, he was terrible against the Ravens, and he hasn't shown that he can do much against really an NFL caliber defense when they're not just playing vanilla defense and dropping back and playing cover two and standard cover three defenses. And he got exposed against the Ravens. So I'm a little bit low on Mannion. I think a lot of people are, and they're really wondering why he's still on the team. But Sean McVay is going to do his due diligence. He's going to give him a look and give him an opportunity to prove himself worthy of that backup job behind Jared Goff. Now we'll talk about a topic that fans have been looking for answers for, quite honestly, for the past 2 years. That's, of course, Aaron Donald's contract situation and the negotiations that are going on with his holdout and him seeking a new deal. Sean McVay gets asked about this every day after practice. No matter what it is, someone asks him, is there an update on Aaron Donald? At times, he plays it a little bit close to the chest and doesn't reveal much. And then other times, he says a little bit more. Most recently, he said that the two sides are talking a little bit more. There's, quote-unquote, increased dialogue between them, which is a good sign moving forward. And it's better than when Kevin Demoff went on radio and said that they really just don't agree on the value of Donald, which obviously no one wants to hear because he is worth the money that he is probably asking for, whether that's $20 million a year or 23. He's worth being the highest paid defensive player in the league in NFL history. He's likely a future Hall of Famer. He has everything going for him right now. But the thing that's working against him is the fact that the Rams have complete control over him. If they wanted to tag him next year, they could. If they wanted to tag him the year after that, they could do that. And then they could work on a long-term deal. And by that point, he'd be something like 28, 29 years old. So they hold all the cards in this situation, which is why they're so reluctant to give him a long-term deal. They know that they're going to be up against the cap when it comes to signing their other players and keeping everyone happy. It's going to be difficult to do. And keeping Donald cheap for this year is something that they would like to do. That's not really something that he's happy about, and he's not going to play this season on that deal. So they're working hard to get a deal done. Les Snead said just last week that they're in the same zip code, same ballpark, same area code. He used all those phrases to describe how the negotiations are going, which, like McVay, that's a good sign. It's good to hear that things are progressing. It's good to hear that the two sides are talking more than they were in the past, because previously it seemed like things were going south really quickly. So hopefully a deal gets done soon. Reports came out on Monday that the two sides were nearing a deal. Pro Football Talk, Jason Lockinfora, and Downtown Rams all reported that a deal was going to be done basically this week, and that the two sides were coming close to an agreement. And then Sean McVay was asked about that on Tuesday or on Monday, and he said, "That's news to us." So obviously he's not going to come out and say, "Yeah, we're going to sign Donald to a $24 million deal with $65 to $70 million guaranteed," like Downtown Rams reported. But he played it close to the chest. He didn't really reveal much, and that's really to be expected. They're going to be working on that deal for quite a while. Hopefully it gets done before the regular season starts. No one should worry about Donald missing training camp or any of the preseason games. He didn't play a single one last year. He didn't practice once in camp or before the season began, and he even missed week one. And all he did was go out and win Defensive Player of the Year, play 14 games, rack up another season with double-digit sacks. He had the most pressures of any player in the league. So you don't have to worry about him missing time. It's whether he's going to be back for week one and whether he's going to be satisfied with the offers that the Rams are making him as far as contracts go. Again, hopefully that's something that gets done relatively soon. Hopefully the reports are true that they're approaching a deal. But until pen is put to paper, we don't really know what's going to happen with Donald, and things could go south at any moment. So obviously something to keep an eye on as training camp concludes and then as we move towards the regular season. Looking forward to next week's preseason game, really this week, it's on Saturday, against the Raiders. Sean McVay is not exactly thrilled with having to play his week one opponent in the preseason just 3 weeks prior. It's really not a good situation for a team that's trying to not just mask their offense and what they're going to do as far as their game plan goes, but they don't want to reveal any of their plays. They don't want to reveal any of their strategy, which players they're deploying, so on and so forth. So he's going to handle that with a little bit more care than he typically would when it comes to the preseason games. He hasn't said what the plan is going to be for sure. Against the Raiders, it sounds like the starters aren't going to play against the Raiders. We can't really blame him after seeing so many guys get hurt. Darius Geis went down with the torn ACL. We see injuries all the time in the preseason, and it's really not going to benefit the Rams much to play someone like Todd Gurley or Jared Goff for an extended period of time in the preseason. The risk far outweighs the reward. Even if they're rusty a little bit in week one, or even just in the first few quarters of the season opener, I think the Rams would much rather deal with that than losing someone to a torn ACL or an Achilles injury or anything like that. So you can't really blame Sean McVay if he does opt to rest the starters. It's something that he's been very particular with when it comes to how much he plays his starters, how careful he is in practice, this and that. So obviously that's something that he's said he's had a difficult time managing. He's working with Wade Phillips and talking to Jay Gruden about how they handle things. And so he's really conscientious about what he does in the preseason when it comes to his players. As far as guys to watch, I'm going to have an eye on Sean Mannion and Luis Perez if he does play. Those are the two guys that can either help or hurt themselves most in this preseason game. I'm kind of curious to see how much Mannion plays in this one. He got a full half in the first preseason game, so maybe he gets a little bit less just to kind of see what Brandon Allen and Luis Perez can do. I'm not really sure how Sean McVay is going to handle that. On defense, Justin Lawler and Trevon Young, those are two rookies who made some flash plays against the Ravens in the first preseason game. I like what they can do. They have good athleticism, long players on the edge. Really interested to see what they can do against the Raiders, against their offensive line, Colton Miller. So I'm going to be watching them closely as far as edge rushers go, because the Rams don't have really a strong, solid edge rusher who's going to be dominant week in and week out. So it's going to take a convoy of guys to get after the quarterback, and those are two guys who could impress throughout this preseason. Back to the offense, Darrell Williams and Cornelius Lucas. They were two of the worst offensive linemen on the field on Thursday. Didn't look good at either tackle spot, gave up sacks, allowed pressure on Jared Goff. So those are two guys who really need to bounce back and play well. And the same goes for Troy Hill, who I mentioned before struggled against the Ravens, had a penalty, gave up two passes deep downfield. So he's going to need to bounce back and play well if he wants to hold off guys like Dominique Hadfield and Ramon Richards and other players like that at cornerback. And then Malcolm Brown. He didn't get much playing time in the first preseason game. John Kelly and Justin Davis handled the brunt of the workload in that game. Sean McVay likes what he does, feels comfortable with him being the backup to Todd Gurley. But if John Kelly and Justin Davis, again, have a great game and really show that they're the better options at number two and number three over Brown, then it could mean that Brown's on the outside looking in when roster cuts finally do come down. I'm not sure Justin Davis is really going to push for a roster spot and be one of those final guys. John Kelly, I think, is definitely going to make the team, especially after that preseason opener. But Malcolm Brown, he's a stable guy. He doesn't have fumbling issues, good blocker. So he's most likely going to stick, but I really want to see what he can do against this Raiders team and this Raiders defense. So those are just a handful of guys I'll be watching. Hopefully you'll be watching the game too. It's on NFL Network, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific, and they're taking on the Raiders at home. And that's 3 weeks before the season opener, so there will definitely be a bunch of matchups to watch. A little bit of a preview, Jordy Nelson, I'm not sure if he's going to play, Amari Cooper. So they do have some good playmakers, and then obviously Derek Carr, quarterback. Who knows what John Gruden is going to do with his starters in that one. So we'll keep you guys updated on the Rams Wire. You can follow me on Twitter at Cam DeSilva. You can follow the Rams Wire on Twitter at the Rams Wire, and then obviously keep it locked into the ramswire.usatoday.com. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you guys after preseason week 2.